Hello and welcome to today's podcast, Strategic Planning for Business Owners. My name is Steve Young and I am with UBS Financial Services. I'm based out of Indianapolis where I lead a team known as the Young Business Transition Consultants. We're a niche team that focuses on working with owners of closely held businesses to provide wealth management solutions and advice to help business owners make wise and informed decisions about their business and also their personal financial future. A large part of our practice does involve pre-transaction planning and post-liquidity wealth management. Now, as we continue to work with our entrepreneurs, we want to provide them with access to information that's relevant, timely, and impactful when it comes to making wise decisions about their financial futures. Today, I'm joined by my colleague, Leora Zack. For those who have not met Leora, she is the Executive Director of the Global Banking Division, formerly known as the Business Development Group. She has quite an extensive background working with business owners with over 10 years of corporate finance experience, helping clients with a whole range of transactions, including M&A, equity raises, and debt capital raises as well. Leora is currently responsible for sourcing and advising investment banking opportunities for the Wealth Management Americas for UBS. She works with teams like ours throughout the country and helps us to deliver investment banking for our clients. Leora, thanks for joining us today and appreciate your time today. I want to kind of start out by asking a couple questions about the current landscape for M&A and what you've seen over the past, say, 9 to 12 months with the pandemic. And what do you think the future holds, especially with regards to mergers and acquisitions?
Great. Thanks, Steve. And appreciate you reaching out to invite us on the call today. Quick update on the M&A market. It's definitely come back. We're seeing volume at or near a high, an all-time high. The financing market is open for the right opportunities. We still are having very low interest rates, and the tax and regulatory environment also seem to be in our favor still. So we feel very good about where things are headed into 2021. On the M&A side, there's a couple key things playing to make this a great M&A market. The first, large cap strategics are in great financial standing for the most part. They're being very aggressive in processes for the right opportunities. Many have freed up their balance sheet earlier in the year. And for many public companies, it wasn't as bad as anticipated in terms of COVID and the pandemic. So they're now looking at growth opportunities to make investments. So they're an active buyer in processes that we see. Also, as many know, the private equity world is still sitting on record capital that they need to put to use, and they are still raising more funds remotely today and raising more money to go after opportunities. And then third, the SPAC world, right? The SPAC community definitely was a game changer in 2020 with a record number of underwritings. And now companies have the option to sell, go public, or they can sell to a SPAC. So it increases alternatives for companies as well. I think the keys there is just a limited number of high quality targets. Select sectors like technology and healthcare, we've seen great successes in. And going forward, we expect that to continue as well. COVID-friendly stories generally across all sectors really haven't seen a significant decline, and they're holding valuation expectations. And on the flip side, for those that were negatively impacted, the feedback for them, the consideration for them is to delay a process until late next year. So buyers may just want to see a couple quarters of stable earnings and a better pathway to returning to pre-COVID levels before going to market. You know, there's still a ton of value placed on management teams and business models that have navigated through 2020 very well, even if they were impacted negatively as a result due to their business model. With all of this combined, though, we feel for the right companies, if there was interest in going to market, the factors are still in our favor to make it a great M&A year in 2021. So it's worth having the conversation if folks are considering it.
Very good. You and I have had the benefit of working on a number of transactions in the past. And one of the questions we always get when we first start a conversation with a business owner is addressing the timeline. How long does it actually take a client or a company to go to market once they decide they want to do it? Can you walk us through that?
Sure. So it really depends on how prepared an owner is and the number of buyers involved. Right. So if they're running a full competitive process to many buyers or just working one-on-one with a buyer direct. But generally speaking, it takes about 6 to 9 months to sign a definitive agreement in an M&A process. And there's typically 5 phases. The first, preparation. Second, marketing. Third, buyer due diligence. Fourth, negotiations. And lastly, the closing phase. In the first phase, the prep phase, this is where, you know, we explore valuation maximization strategies and bankers do the initial due diligence. Some of the things here include putting together financial projections, preparing data, developing a marketing strategy, thinking through the buyer list and finalizing some of the key docs like the teaser and the offering memorandum known as a CIM, C-I-M. Next is the marketing phase. This is where we would contact buyers. We execute confidentiality agreements and distribute the CIM, the book on the company to those that have signed that. We prepare management presentations and solicit and evaluate initial IOIs or initial indications of interest from buyers. And we select a few buyers in for further due diligence, you know, based on those IOIs. Third, this typically is the longest phase, the buyer due diligence phase, at least over a month. This is where management presentations are done, access is given to the data room, and site visits are done. Hopefully those go back to normal post-COVID, but a lot was done virtually this year. And the end goal is really to get final bids in from a good handful of buyers. Next is the negotiations phase. This is where we evaluate final bids and work with select buyers to sign an agreement, ultimately. And this can also take, you know, a couple of time. It's really important to have a good banker here to make sure the terms are in the seller's favor. And lastly, closing is ensuring that all regulatory and legal approvals are locked up and processed to successfully close the deal. And we also communicate with employees and customers here as well. And again, this can take sometimes as soon as 4 months to 6 months, but for middle market companies that maybe aren't as prepared, you know, that prep stage can take months and months of work. And a good banker won't take you to market until they're fully ready to sell you for the highest maximum value. So generally, again, 6 months, but it can take more or less depending on how the business is set up.
I know a lot of times we talk to business owners and many times we get referred into an opportunity from either their attorney or their CPA firm when there's already an offer on the table. And sometimes it's self-sourced, sometimes it's unsolicited. But I think one of the really unique things that our team is able to do is leverage your team to actually bring an inventory of potential investment bankers, whether they're representing strategic buyers or private equity, and bringing them to the table as well. Can you talk a little bit about the due diligence that goes into selecting the constituency of that list of boutique investment bankers, and how do we interact with them and the potential seller of a business?
Sure. So at UBS, we've developed a network of boutique investment banks, which are essentially middle market investment banks that work on deal sizes that are in the $10 million up to $200 million value range. So north of that, that's where UBS typically plugs in, and we can be helpful within our UBS Investment Bank. But below that, we want to make sure clients are in the right hands. We trust who is working on their deal, because for us, especially in wealth management, having a good process, getting the most value out of the business is important, right? And making sure that those clients are working with trusted advisors, because the universe on the M&A side, there's many banks out there that all claim to do a great job by clients, but we really want to make sure that our clients are in the best hands. So we've met with over 450 banks over the past decade and have a short list of 25. And how we match clients to our partners is typically based on industry expertise. So what we do is once a quarter, we get a run of their recent deals and active mandates based on the type of company that they're working with. So we really have a good read as to who has done what in the space, and it helps us match those clients with the right banking advisors. So for example, if it's an organic granola bar company, we would search in a couple of different things all the way down to organic granola bar exactly to see what comes up. But if a, you know, if that's really too specific, we can go into organic food, granola bar, food and health, organic food. So we best match those clients to banks that are in really in that space. In addition to industry, we also look at the geography and where the client's based, as well as personality of the client and of the banker to have a good match, because you are working with these folks for sometimes a year. So it's also important to like the person you're working with. But really, at the end of the day, it's important for us to really match by industry expertise. And I think that's really a value that we bring to the table with this boutique partnership that we run.
I would agree. And we have seen that in action, and it's working very well for clients that are allowing us to bring those opportunities up in discussion. You know, one of the interesting things that we've seen across the spectrum is when there is already an offer on the table. And as I said, either it's self-sourced or it's unsolicited. And there's opportunities when that happens to actually still bring the UBS investment banking network to the transaction. Can you speak to the opportunity where there might already have been an offer and the investment bankers have come to the table and maybe improved the opportunity for the seller?
Yeah, definitely. We actually just had one close this month for a similar situation. We were introduced to a client about 3 years ago, and they, along with most companies, are continuously approached by buyers to sell their business, right? At least once a year, but some are getting calls once a week from buyers or bankers, but buyers direct. And it's enticing to move forward, especially if the offer seems very high and very good initially, but that initial offer may always change in the end. And it usually does. But for this particular case, you know, they received an offer 3 years ago, they were sitting on it. But in 2019, last year, they really decided it was time to sell. They reached back out to us since we were working with them for a couple of years now and keeping the lines of communication open. And they wanted to get reintroduced to boutiques. But their ask, because they really like this buyer, was just to work with a boutique for the purposes of a sale to this buyer that they wanted to sell to. And, you know, we do have boutiques that do that assignment. The advantage there is that if anything goes sideways with that one buyer, for example, you already have an advisor on your side that knows the business well, that has done the due diligence on the company. So if, again, if anything changes, they can pivot quickly and take you to market, right? They can run a full process, then go to hundreds or thousands of buyers, or they can go to a small, you know, and they can run a targeted process if you're really concerned about confidentiality, which I know many clients are. But again, the benefit is that you have somebody to help with negotiations. And for this case in particular, they had a manufacturing facility overseas in Asia, and they also had the buyer in Europe. So with everything going on, this was signed pre-COVID, you know, before anything really happened with the pandemic this year. But if they didn't have representation to help through this process, that deal really would have fallen apart. And the client said to us multiple times, you know, really thank you for encouraging me to hire somebody, because if we didn't have these calls with you, we would have never hired anybody. We would have just felt we could do it on our own. And that deal would have blown up. We wouldn't have gotten a premium value. And also the structure that we helped them get was the father, the founder of the business, was able to sell out and get full liquidity. The kids were able to stay in and retain equity, a good percentage of equity for the deal value and the price paid. And all of that was done, again, by the banker to drive what the client wanted in the end. And that wasn't something that the seller initially agreed to. There was much back and forth. But if they didn't have a force behind them to have those conversations with the buyer, again, they wouldn't have gotten that structure that was ideal for them. So all in all, we do have partners that can help with a sale with one firm. The value there is negotiations. And if it does go sideways, you can pivot and still sell your business versus feeling stuck.
That's great to know. And also, I do want to make sure that everybody listening did pick up on the fact that this particular client you're talking about had international activity. So we're not necessarily limited to doing transactions that are 100% US based, but we have the reach to be able to bring in players that have the opportunity to handle international transactions as well. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Very good. Leora, some of the listeners on the call today may be thinking about taking the next step and trying to decide what they need to be doing next. So for those that have considered selling the company, maybe not figured out which direction to go, what type of recommendations would you give them as they contemplate their next step?
Yeah, so I would say on the preparation side, you know, the more prepared a company is for a sale, the less likely you'll be surprised, meaning the sellers will be surprised and have delays during the buyer due diligence phase while they really look under the hood to see everything within the business before they move forward in a process. So preparation can really save a seller a substantial amount in the long run. Some of the things to consider include, you know, reviewing your company's tax planning and reviewing possible tax advantage situations during a sale, and analyze what type of sale, meaning, you know, a stock versus asset sale, could be most beneficial for you. Also looking at the legal structure, making sure that's simplified. Looking at your financial statements, audited financial statements do help. They do help in a process. Also private equity buyers that require debt financing will likely need audited financials or at least the quality of earnings in a process to get the deal consummated. Another thing we recommend is developing, you know, a business plan that shows projections of earnings and cash flow for a few years out. Having an aggressive and defendable plan will likely form a good basis for value negotiations in a process. We also encourage clients to review contracts before going into a sale. It's important to know of any change of control provisions that may exist or upcoming terminations. Also understanding key customers and suppliers that are of value to potential buyers. So there's many things on the planning side that we encourage. There's a laundry list of items to discuss with clients to help them make sure they're prepared. I think one of the obvious ones, in addition to some that I mentioned, is ensuring you do start the pre-sale planning or the wealth management planning as well. There's certain trust and estate measures that need to be implemented well in advance of a deal. So while it's crucial to get the number that you feel your business is worth, whether that's $10 million, $50 million, or $100 million for the business that you've built, but at the end of the day, if you don't plan or you don't consider certain structures that can help save you and your family post-tax, it really doesn't matter what that top-line number is, right? At the end of the day, both are very important. And if you have one without the other, it'll not work out in the best interest. So they're both equally important. And I always encourage, and that's why we're working closely with Steve Young and his team and folks like him across the country to really make sure that clients are looking at all aspects of a transaction from both the business side as well as their personal planning side.
I would agree 100%. I can tell you there's been times where we've worked on transactions where the seller has actually sourced the transaction himself. And then we were introduced to the owners of the company during that process. And as we've done the pre-transaction planning and the goals analysis for the individual owners, we found out that during the process, they've agreed to sell the company for a price that once you discount for taxes, paying off their debts, and then splitting the leftovers amongst the owners, there was less available to the individual owners than they thought and made it difficult for them to hit their long-term goals and objectives. And I always lament about that because if we get involved earlier in the process and do the planning and do help the sellers articulate what their actual goals and objectives are and help them discuss what life is going to look like after the transaction closes, we find that the level of satisfaction post-closing 1 to 2 to 5 years later is much higher. So I would agree that doing the planning on the front end makes a big difference, not just on the business side with the audited financials and going through the legal aspects, but also on the personal side as well. So very good. We thank you for your time, Lior. This has been very, very informative. And as we conclude here, I just want to let our listeners know that your business is our business. And as I mentioned earlier, our team is designed to help you grow your financial well-being and your wealth throughout the entire life cycle of your company. So everything from startup phase through operations and then your eventual exit. And our process, as we have discussed, will help you define your long-term goals, evaluate your options, and create a tailored plan to help you meet your goals and objectives. We do that through working here through our financial planning team. We do that working with Leora's group and some of the other resources that we have available through UBS. So if you are thinking about exiting your company, whether now or in the future, we'd love to talk to you. If you have any questions about anything that was discussed today, or if you would like more information about how we work with Leora and her team, please reach out. My number, 317-816-1830. We would love to have that conversation with you. Leora, thanks again for your time. We really appreciate it. And with that,
thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Yes. And with that, we'd like to wish everybody a good day.